Welcome to Growing International, where you hear from educators like yourself, students, and experts in the field of international education on how to grow your study abroad programs and internationalize your campuses. I'm your host, Jody Littleton, a professor of communication and a study abroad coordinator for Parkland College. I couldn't do this show without the support of Parkland College, a community college located in Champaign, Illinois, as well as the Consortium of International Studies and Programs and the Community Colleges for International Development. Whew! With all that out of the way, let's get started. I am with John Partain today, and he is the coordinator of languages and internationalization at, he just taught me how to say this, Universidad Politécnica de, I'll say the last part, John.
Guanajuato.
So, John, welcome to this program. I'm excited to have you here because the purpose of this show is to help study abroad coordinators and people in the international education field. And I think that you are the perfect person to help those of us in the United States to do our jobs better. So first of all, I think in order for us to understand why I think that, tell us a little bit about your school.
Okay, so as you said, I am at Universidad Politécnica de Guanajuato. So basically, we're a small engineering and research university in the heart of Mexico. We're about 3 hours north of Mexico City, northwest, really. And we are not very big in you know, U.S. institutional terms. We only have around 5,000 students. And so we offer various degree programs, but they're all engineering. We do offer one small business degree, but everything else that we offer is just strictly engineering degrees. We have a ton of PhDs that are constantly doing research projects, students help with the research projects. And so we basically just graduate young, talented engineers for our international companies that are located here in the state of Guanajuato.
Excellent. And based on our conversation last week, you specifically have automotive. What are some specific degrees, engineering degrees that you offer?
Right. Most of them are with the automotive sector, related to the automotive sector. We do have some agricultural degrees and clean energy. So just to list the degree programs, it would be robotics, manufacturing technologies, automotive design, logistics and transportation, clean energy, biotechnology, agro-industrial. Those would be the engineering degree programs that we offer. And then we do have a small business degree program. We've just started this past September, we started a metrology and quality degree program. Metrology's in high demand in the companies around us. And then next year, we just have two more degree programs approved from the authorities that will be data, which would just be IT, and then robotics and agro-industrial. So those were growing, but like I said, most of our degree programs are just strictly engineering-based.
Well, that's quite a list. So you have done some study abroad based on some of those categories, some of those majors. Kind of start at the beginning, I guess. When did your college start offering study abroad programs?
Okay. So I've only been the coordinator for 5 years. And so basically that's when our current university president came in the position as well. So we kind of coincided, and he wanted us to start pursuing international programs, international partnerships, bilateral relationships. And so I had the opportunity to represent him in a meeting with Partners of the Americas. And so after that meeting, I hit it off with Ukiah Bush. Ukiah Bush is one of their main administrators with Partners of America. And so I went back to talk to the university president about all of the opportunities that Partners of America had, how I felt like that we could use that organization to tap into funding. So basically he said, okay, well, you're going to be running the new internationalization department. So long story short, that led us into applying for a 100,000 strong grant with Northeast Wisconsin Technical College in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And so as a byproduct of that, I ended up having to design a study abroad program where it was focused strictly on cultural immersion and some Spanish language development. And so basically that grant allowed me to really sit down and design a program, because that had to, in order for us to be in the running to win the grant, I had to have something to offer for U.S. students coming south. And so we designed a 2-week program. And so basically that program has just allowed us to offer it to all of our partner institutions in the U.S. and Canada. We don't have a huge list of partner institutions, which I prefer, to be honest with you. I like having strong partners instead of having a lot of partner institutions. I prefer to have, you know, key partners that are aligned with your institutional goals and work together to meet those. So that's basically how we started with our study abroad program. So basically we can offer partner institutions a 1-week, 10-day, 2-week, 2.5-week cultural immersion program where students from the U.S. can come down and learn more about Mexico, its culture, the language, and it has been really, really successful. All of the U.S. students that have participated so far didn't want to go home, so we feel like we've got a strong program and it's been successful. And that's something that you and I were talking about prior, Jody. You know, as a U.S. citizen living in Mexico, I want to share with this next generation of leaders that's coming out of higher educational institutions in the U.S. I want to share with them the Mexico that I know, not what they hear on the news or read about in the newspapers. You know, it's a wonderful country. It's a great culture. The people are wonderful. And I just want to share that all of the students that have participated in the program so far have been really pleased that they did that. They've in our, you know, post trip surveys and our post trip interviews, They've all expressed, you know, how, what a difference the trip made, and for them and their perspective of not just life outside of the U.S., but especially when it comes to Mexico. And so that's made us really proud.
I think, John, what you said is fantastic, because really study abroad coordinators and students, when they think of study abroad, a lot of times think of faraway places. Go to Europe, go to Africa. But what's important is our neighbors and the people that we interact with the most. And that would be places like Mexico and Canada, who share our borders, learning more about those cultures. So that's when I initially talked to you, that's what caught my attention, is I think this is so valuable for students, because they're going to be working with companies that have branches in Mexico. They're going to be working with fellow employees that are from Mexico. So I think that learning more about the culture is important.
I agree 100%. Matter of fact, the last group that came down from Wisconsin, there were three from manufacturing technologies. That's what they were studying there in Wisconsin. And all three of those met the profile that you just described. Mm-hmm. You know, they work in offices. They produce automotive parts. And, you know, half of the office are from Mexico or other Latin American countries. And that was the main reason that they wanted to take the trip, was to learn more about the culture. And so it's a win-win for everybody, in my personal opinion.
Clarify this for me. Not only do students come to your university, but you also have students going to other colleges as well.
Exactly. So, like I said earlier, all of our partners are, we kind of set the groundwork. We decide to partner with institutions that are willing to have bilateral relationships. In other words, they are willing to receive our students on, you know, short-term certificate programs. That's basically what we've done most, you know, maybe a month, 3 weeks, where they come and they do some type of certification course. Last summer, I had 12 students from robotics and automotive design that were at NWTC, and they did a course on CAD 1 and programming 2. And so they got certificates of completion. It wasn't an actual certification course, but it was perfect for each one of those students because they were just at the point of graduating, and it was perfect. And actually all of them told me post trip that in their first interviews that they had in the companies, that the employers were very impressed that they had participated in a program like that. So that's what we look for, is for institutions. And that's why I like working with CCID members, is because we all pretty much have the same goals. We offer short-term programs, you know, although we, four-year institution, we do offer the 2 and 2. Be it in the same campus, it's still the same thing. You know, we're probably 50-50 student, you know, new freshmen that come in that graduate with an associate's degree, and then the other 50% will go ahead and finish with the engineering degree. So
that kind of leads into what your ideal study abroad partner would be. So talk a little bit about that.
Basically, what we try to look for, first, if we're open for any institution to participate in our cultural immersion study abroad program. You know, we don't have to be partners, so to speak, to participate in that, but we would prefer that. So basically, what we look for are institutions that line up fairly equally in terms of academics, that have programs in the U.S. to where our students could participate in, you know, something no longer than a month, generally, just based on economic terms, the economic profile of our student body. Living on campus in the U.S. anywhere for more than 1 month really turns into a quite expensive endeavor. And so that helps, that we line up academically, that's willing to send students to Mexico. That's a key, of course. That is willing to host our students. Basically, that's the main thing. And has a safe place for our students to be while they're in their study abroad program. What I generally like to do is I like to make an on-site visit to make sure, for example, our partner institutions in Wisconsin, they both have housing available just right across the street. You know, they have dorms right across the street from the campus proper. So that, you know, in each one of those dorm rooms can house up to 5 people. They're fully furnished. They've got everything they need as far as all of the cooking stuff that they need, and they don't have to take public transportation to get anywhere. They can just walk across the street. So those are just perfect scenarios. Now, our partner institutions in Texas. It's not quite that way, but it's within walking distance. Those are the type of things that we look for, is mainly academic alignment and safety for our students that will be traveling north, and willingness to be able to send students south in order to participate in our program.
Do any of the students do homestays? Any of your students that come to the United States?
We haven't done that yet. In all honesty, I guess I've looked at that, but we haven't really gone there yet. It's just worked out with our partner so far. Had on campus or relatively close housing in dorm style living close by. So that's, we wouldn't like reject that, but that's something that we haven't done as of today.
And so the students that come to Mexico also are staying in dormitories?
Well, no, there's like within 15 minutes of campus, there's a city named Celaya. And in Celaya, they have some real nice hotels. And so basically that's what we do, is everybody stays in a hotel that we've got a big, huge mall there. It's a very safe environment. You know, I know that is a big issue for a lot of parents in the U.S. when you talk about I'm going to send my son to Mexico. You know, they worry about safety. So normally we're the place where we choose to house everybody while they're in our program is there's a hotel inside of a huge mall, and the mall is gated, and you got to go through pay stalls to get in and get out and all that stuff. So it's a very safe environment. But, you know, the good thing is it's only 15, 20 minutes from campus, and, you know, the transportation and all that's built into the cost of the program. So, and we handle all the transportation. We've got our own minivans and that type of thing. So it works out good.
That sounds ideal.
Yeah, and the good thing is at the mall, you know, the U.S. students, they've got everything they want, you know, movie theater, restaurants, big, huge shopping facilities, you know, department stores, that type of thing, you know, and then there's, you know, a lot of youth running around, food courts and that type of thing. So it works out great, really.
That does sound good. And one thing that we talked about last week is you usually have a study abroad coordinator, faculty member coming with the students.
Right, exactly. And we prefer that. I think you would agree with me, Jody, that, you know, getting faculty involved is the key to the success for any study abroad program.
I agree.
And so all of the programs have just worked wonderfully because they were, well, I take that back. There was one program that we did that wasn't faculty driven. It was good. It was very successful, but I've just noticed the difference in how the program continues if there's faculty members involved.
Yes, I agree. I mean, my experience has been the same, that having faculty involved makes it a much better for recruiting and for the experience for the students as well. Talk a little bit about the itinerary. So you've mentioned that students are people can participate in 2 weeks, 2 weeks, up to a month. Was there any 10-day ones?
Yep.
Okay,
yep,
10 days.
The one we did for the Texas State was for 10 days. Exactly.
Okay. So short term, which is ideal, again, for community college students as well as your students, because cost is always a factor. Tell us a little bit about, just give us like a sample itinerary that to have so people can get an idea of what you do.
The state that we live in is Guanajuato, okay? So, and Guanajuato is centrally located in the country, and we have a real good international airport. So if you're on the West Coast, you know, if you're in Phoenix or you're in Los Angeles, you can get to us pretty much directly. If you're on the east of the Mississippi, you can go through Houston or Dallas and get to us no problem. And so that helped. Leon International Airport, it's called El Aeropuerto del Bajío. That's where we pick everybody up. And so, like I said, we use Celaya as our base. And every single day, what we try to do is to either do a factory visit or do a cultural visit. And then what I try to do, if let's just say it's a 2-week stay or a 10-week stay. So that first day would be on campus. We go around the campus. We introduce students to, you know, we'll pick out some of our students that are pretty much along the same lines, studying the same things, and we'll let them be hosts, and they'll take the groups around, and they'll show them all the facilities, all the laboratories, and then we all sit together in our language labs, and then we'll do some intensive Spanish courses for, you know, maybe 3 or 4 hours. And then after we do that, then we start with the actual going out. We start visiting all of the cultural sites in the state. And we're very, very closely aligned with all of the assembly plants here and quite a few of the tier one, tier two suppliers for the assembly plants. We have within a 50-mile radius of our campus, we have an assembly plant from Honda, an assembly plant from Mazda, an assembly plant from Toyota, an assembly plant for General Motors, an assembly plant from Volkswagen, and Ford has a component plant in Irapuato. So we always try to make sure, especially those that are coming down that are in the engineering fields, manufacturing technologies, those types of fields, we try to make sure that they get to see how those companies operate in Mexico. I think that's very important for students in the U.S. to see that pretty much operations, how things operate here in Mexico and how similar they are to the U.S., and that understanding of the culture and the language is very important for the relationships between the two countries. I mean, the biggest trading partners that U.S. and Mexico has is with each other. So it's a very important relationship, and I always try to make sure that the students coming down get that experience to see how these international companies operate here. You're talking the three major Japanese manufacturers having plants here. So, you know, aside from General Motors and Ford, you get to see how the Germans run plants through Volkswagen and how the Japanese with Honda, Mazda, and Toyota. So then we'll spend several days visiting all of the cultural places that we have available to us. And I don't know if you guys are history buffs or not, but I'm a big history buff. And so the Mexican Revolution actually started here in our state. There's a couple of cities, San Miguel de Allende and Guanajuato. Guanajuato, that's the capital of the state. Those were the Declaration of Independence. I mean, the Mexican Revolution happened in San Miguel de Allende, and then the actual reading of the Declaration of Independence happened in a city called Dolores Hidalgo. And so the big battles of the revolution happened in San Miguel de Allende and Guanajuato. And so there's just a ton of history. There's a ton of cultural sites that we can go to. I mean, San Miguel de Allende, they have a really, really cool excursion where students actually, when Miguel Hidalgo, who was the writer of the Declaration of Independence, when he actually walked to Dolores Hidalgo to do the Declaration, to pronounce the Declaration of Independence, much like our founders did in Philadelphia, he walked along a river and walked to Dolores Hidalgo. So there's a real nice excursion that we take the students on. We go on four-wheelers. And we go from the actual place where he signed. It's a small church and a little small, it's just a little small nothing of a place, and it's called Atotonilco. And so we start from there, and then we ride the four-wheelers all the way to where, to Dolores Hidalgo, and then we visit the church in the balcony where he proclaimed independence from the Spanish in the revolution. So then we go to, I think another real cool thing that all of our participants have really enjoyed was the tour of the tequila plant. Another cool thing about Guanajuato, this particular state, is we're the only other state in the world that is actually legally authorized to produce tequila. There's only two states in the whole world where tequila can come from. Jalisco. Jalisco is, they are the, they have the main rights of tequila production in the whole world. And in Guanajuato is the only other state that is allowed to do that. And that part of our state is the state that borders Jalisco. And so there's a big, huge plant over there, and we go and we visit that plant. They get to see the whole process. They get to see them coming in with, you know, how they bring the piñas in from the cactus, and they put them in the ovens, and they mash out the juice and the fermentation process. And it's just really, really interesting. Everybody loves that. So, and then we have several pyramid sites here in the States that were discovered back about 20 years ago. One of them is real close to San Miguel de Allende. And so that's another excursion that we try to do, is take the four-wheeler from downtown San Miguel de Allende, and then we'll drive over to the pyramids, and then we tour the pyramids. It's just an eye-opening event for students that come down and participate in that trip. On one trip, I was in the apparel industry for a long time, and so one of our family members has a shoe manufacturer in Leon. Leon is one of the biggest producer of leather goods in the whole country, in all of Mexico. One of our family members has a huge plant in Leon. Leon is another big city in Guanajuato. And so, we've gone and we've toured the shoe plant, and they have this big, huge outlet mall of shoes. All those shoe manufacturers and purse manufacturers and belts and handbags and leather bags, everything you could think of in leather. They get this huge outlet mall there. And boy, everybody loves that too. So it's just a wonderful experience. And I think it exposes U.S. students to really the best of Mexico and the best of what Guanajuato has to offer.
I think my students would actually appreciate the four-wheeling part. That's probably the most fun that they have to do.
That is a big hit, without a doubt.
Well, great. That sounds like a great itinerary. So, and obviously you work with the different schools it sounds like a basic itinerary, but you can tweak it to fit whatever the schools are looking for.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, actually, it just depends on what time of the year, as far as cultural activities go. For example, the trip where Texas State and Lamar University participated, it was this time of year. And so actually Monday is, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie Coco, about the tradition of the Dia de los Muertos here in Mexico, Day of the Dead. That's a huge tradition here in Mexico. We took the students from Texas State, we took them that last weekend down to Mexico City, the biggest celebration of the Dia de los Muertos is Mexico City. So we took them to Mexico City, and we had never done that before. So we're totally flexible. It depends on what type of activities our partner institutions are kind of requesting. That's something I really like. I tell the faculty members, I say, well, look, just get your students down, and you guys talk about going to Mexico, do some research. What would you like to see? Take a look at Guanajuato. Take a look at some of the surrounding states and areas. We're only 3 hours from Mexico City. We're 3 hours from Guadalajara. Whatever you guys feel like you would like to learn more about Mexico, we can do it. So it's just worked out great that we can be flexible enough to help our partner institutions, meet the goals that they're wanting to meet. So like I said before, if we're all working toward common interest, it really makes things work much better.
I agree. So my final question is, well, maybe two final questions. How do people get in touch with you if they are interested in talking to you about a partnership?
Well, all of my details are listed with CCID, and you can reach me by our university's website. It might not be easy for everybody to do that, but email address is jpartain. JPARTAIN at UPGTO edu.mx. And so I always respond to every mail. So if you're interested, feel free to reach out.
I will put that in the podcast description for this episode also. So I'll put your email in there, John, as well as the name of the university and their website. So thank you so much. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, contact me at jlittleton@parkland.edu. For more podcasts, check us out at parkland.edu/study abroad for links to our other episodes. I really appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and talk to you next time.